Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm Chris McPherson, joined by Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy, as we will quickly put that Packers game in the rearview mirror and look ahead to this Sunday's matchup with the Tennessee Titans. Gentlemen, tough loss. Don't know how else to really describe it. I was optimistic going into this game. I felt that the offense had moved the ball well with Mark Sanchez, thought they would put up points. Packers defense, not a juggernaut. Defense, I figured they would, you know, they would give up some points to Aaron Rodgers, a prolific offense, but I thought they would generate some pressure, thought they would maybe get a turnover or two at some point in the game. And you figure if it was close, special teams could be the tiebreaker. Which facet of the game were you guys most surprised about in terms of how the game unfolded?
I was most surprised that they gave up a touchdown on special teams. But, I mean, we went back and forth all week, you and I, Chris. I did not expect the Eagles to win this game going into Lambeau against the best quarterback in the league. I think I said that last week on Eagles Beakley. But I
which podcast is that?
Eagles That's Beakley. Okay. Yeah, the best podcast there is. Obviously, this was a disappointing game, but it doesn't really change much about how I feel about this team. The special teams, I didn't expect them to give up a touchdown because, you know, that's where the Eagles have been the best in the league this season. But, you know, we talked about the numbers for Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field over his last however many home starts. The, what was it, 26 touchdowns to zero interceptions. I didn't expect the defense was gonna you know, make him look pedestrian. I thought the offense would be a little bit better, but the game sort of got out of hand. They had to get away from the running game the way that the game was going. I still believe that the Eagles are fighting for a first-round bye, and that's what I thought going into last week, and I think that's still what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to win five of the next six games probably to make that happen, but I think that's definitely on the table. But when the season, when the schedule came out, the first, you know, when you go through, you're putting this is a win, this is a loss, the first one we're like, okay, that's probably a loss, was at Green Bay, assuming Aaron Rodgers was going to be healthy. So, I mean, it wasn't fun to watch, but I wasn't surprised. It didn't really change much of how I felt.
I'm not surprised much by the loss. It's more the way they lost the game.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But look, I mean, things kind of snowballed and got out of hand quickly. Obviously, the special teams touchdown, you talked about that being really surprising. I thought that was the dagger that kind of really kind of put the game in perspective for the rest of us on the outside. Obviously, the team thinks, okay, we're going to fight back. We're going to fight back throughout the entire game. But when that play happened, you're just kind of like, all right, well, this just isn't going to be our day. Look, there are a lot of things went wrong. And if you're looking at it from a worldview, that second half, I mean, you can't kill Mark Sanchez for those picks. And no. Obviously, there are some of those plays are fluky plays where, you know, Green Bay puts the ball on the ground a couple times and they're able to pick it up. And if those go our way, maybe things start to change and we get some momentum. But look, this is one of those games where you want to move on immediately. It's a couple weeks ago, Chip Kelly made the reference, the Lion King reference with D'Amico Ryans and Mustafa. And I think this is a week where you want to try and pick up some advice from Rafiki. And I think I have a talk with Brian.
But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it.
That's it. You got to learn from the past.
How long have you been thinking about that?
One day. I thought of it this morning. I sent BT an email this morning at like, I don't know, what was it, like 7:30 in the morning? Something like that. So.
Wait, so you send it to BT, you get it same day. We ask for a theme song and it takes us five episodes for
I've been waiting for the Eagles Beakley drop for 3 months.
I sent him the link with the audio and said, here it is.
Oh, you did all the legwork. That makes sense.
So, look, it's one of those games where you got to learn from it and you move on, you put it in the rearview mirror and you get ready for Tennessee.
The one thing
I thought I thought Mark Sanchez played pretty well in the first half.
I agree.
You know, he got killed by a couple sacks. The offensive line, I thought, was the most troubling part of the offensive performance. They need to get back to what they had last season. Obviously, it seems like we talked about this, Fran. You said it seems like the timing is just a little bit off with Evan Mathis coming back, playing next to Jason Peters. Matt Tobin did not have a great game at right guard. That's the biggest area where I expect that the Eagles will need to take a step forward in the last six games of the season.
No, I expect to see a big improvement this week, and I'm not just saying it because it's Tennessee and their defense and how they've had their struggles, just because you're back at home.
Yep.
Now, you were there, Bo. What was the atmosphere? Like, obviously, the cold, the weather, you can sense that.
It was freezing cold, that's for sure. But, you know, it's silly, but there is sort of a mystique about playing in Lambeau Field, especially when it gets it gets dark and the fans are there. You got the bleachers, and the whole trip is like, it's sort of like a high school trip because you have to stay in Appleton, which is the only place there's a hotel that can accommodate a football team, and that's a half an hour away. You got to get on the bus, You show up and you just turn the corner in a neighborhood and all of a sudden there's Lambeau Field. And it's, you know, the old locker rooms, all that stuff. But obviously the Eagles were able to get a win there last season. But
yeah,
there was no Aaron Rodgers.
Well, difference.
But, I mean, listen, the Packers were the better team on Sunday. And if they meet up again, we'll see who's the better team that day.
And I was thinking, too, that I think you look around the league right now, every team, and this is all the playoff caliber teams, if you were to look at the playoffs right now, every team has had a loss like this year where either they went on the road against a good team and lost by three scores, or they lost to a team that they had no business losing to. And so I went and I looked at some of the schedules for some of these other teams. Literally every team, you could name a playoff team right now, or you know a team that's projected to make the playoffs. Every single one of them has had one of those really ugly losses where those fan base were probably panicking the way that Eagles fans are right now.
Okay, let's go Dallas.
Dallas, 7-3 team right now. Week 8, they lost to the Washington Redskins, a team that they theoretically should have beaten.
Okay.
It was an overtime.
At home, they should have beaten against a backup quarterback. The one that
stands out to me, obviously, is Green Bay. They just lost to the Saints a couple of weeks ago.
They lost to the Saints a few weeks ago. They lost by 20 points to the Seahawks back in week 1. They've had some tough losses, and they're obviously rolling right now.
All on the road. That's the one thing about Green Bay is at home. And you can say it's about most teams. Eagles have won 9 straight games at home. Much different being home versus away, certainly.
Patriots got donkey whomped by the Chiefs.
Cardinals lost by 21 points to Denver. Green Bay lost by 20 points to Seattle. Atlanta lost by 22 points against the Baltimore Ravens. Detroit. They're the first place team in the South right now. They're the first place team in the South right now.
I mean, Denver lost to the Rams.
Detroit Lions lost by 17 points to Carolina. Seattle has lost to the St. Louis Rams. You know, no one expected that. Denver.
Wait,
killed.
The Rams are world beaters. The Rams have been all the top teams. Those are their wins.
I'm just saying, I'll just put them out there. New Orleans Saints lost by 21 points to Dallas. Chicago just has gotten destroyed by multiple teams this year.
I can't put Chicago.
Yeah, I'm just saying. What about Tennessee? They're 4-6. They're still technically in the playoff picture. New England got destroyed 27 points against the Chiefs. Denver lost by 22 points. Cincinnati lost by 26 points to New England. So every team in the league has had this kind of loss where, look, you got to move on and you know learn from it and get to the next week.
It's a palate cleanser. You move on. You know,
that's it.
The first part of the season's over. Now you gotta get back to business and get back to eating.
Now, see, unfortunately, the Eagles have learned this the hard way. Fran, where were you at in 2008? 2008
season. Temple.
You were at Temple.
Was just a baby boy.
It was my third season at Temple. It was 3 years before
nicely
that.
Done,
three years before I got to listen to that. So that was good.
And then, Bo, where were you at? So there's a year
part of what part of the year?
The fall of 2008 into the winter.
I just graduated college. I was
okay.
Living in New York City.
Yeah.
It was good.
So I bring this because I'm sure you remember this, Fran. Thanksgiving night 2008 season.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles crushed the Arizona Cardinals by 28 points. Don McNabb, Brian Westbrook have outstanding games. It was the first start for McNabb after he was benched in Baltimore. Eagles make the run into the postseason. They get to the NFC Championship game. It's in Arizona. Everyone thinks. I'm just saying, hopefully maybe it can reverse course down the line for the Eagles against the Packers. But I'm just noting that, of course, you all know what happens in the NFC Championship game.
Well, Eagles would have to get home field advantage over the Packers. That's going to be tough to do right
now. When it's all said and done, I think it's time, Eagles fans just relax. Just no worries.
Don't quote the relax.
Hakuna Matata.
No worries.
What a wonderful phrase.
The Mufasa thing just got me thinking this morning.
You've just been inspired.
I know.
What is the next pop culture reference from Chip Kelly going to be?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Does he have? I wonder if he's just a bank. It's like maybe today I need to pull out the Wedding Crashers quote. What was the one show that we were discussing off camera not that long ago? Does he watch Game of Thrones?
I wasn't a part of that conversation. You're just talking to yourself?
Yeah, it might have been. No, it wouldn't have been me because I'm not a Game
Rule
of Thrones guy.
Rule number 6. Do not sit in the corner and sulk. It draws attention to you in a negative way. Draw attention to yourself, but on your own terms.
Now, I didn't watch the entire Steelers-Titans game last night. Obviously, I wanted to put it on. I wanted to get a taste of Tennessee. I haven't really watched any of them this season. And I watched the first half. And the one thing that was good was, and I know the players aren't, watching or having this mindset, but it was good to see Tennessee play as well as they did so that the expectation is it's not going to be a walkover this Sunday, even though Tennessee is 2-8. And, pretty much last night, Monday night, was their Super Bowl at home, prime time against the Steelers.
I watched that whole game because I had like four fantasy games in the balance.
Four of your 30?
Four of my nine.
Only nine. Okay.
Yes.
That's not much better.
But listen, this is not a bad team. You know, they don't have a very good record, but when you compare them to the other teams that only have two wins or whatever, they've got some good players. You know, Zach Mettenberger is a guy you really liked coming out. He's got a big arm. He can make, as you know, Greg Gosell says, he can make all the throws. I liked Bishop Sankey has some juice in those legs. I thought he ran very tough between the tackles as well. Their defense is not that bad. Obviously, they could not stop the run in the fourth quarter, and that's why they lost the game. But this is not a terrible team. The Eagles are going to have to show up to win this game.
Yeah, no question about it. They've got some weapons on the outside. You know, Justin Hunter's a good vertical threat for them. Kendall Wright is a very productive receiver out of the slot. Nate Washington still makes some plays. So, look, this is a talented team, and they play with four running backs, and they kind of rotate those guys in and out. Bishop Sankey is probably the most talented of the group, but they rotate Dexter McCluster and Leon Washington and Sean Green and, you know, whatever
those
other AFC East retreads they've got there. But they run those guys through the lineup. And, look, they're a better team than their record says. And defensively, they're another tough team because
let's ask Le'Veon Bell that.
Yeah, well, look, they're a high-pressure team. They play, yes. You know, come at you in a number of different ways. Ray Horton's defense, you know, and they're kind of gliding into that scheme a little bit. It's taken some time, but I think they're starting to do a little bit more from a pressure standpoint. The last two or three games, they've blitzed a lot more than they did the first few weeks of the season. So they're starting to come into their own a little bit.
Bleedy Ray Wilson had a very bad start to the season, but he's coming on a little bit. Their secondary is not that bad. Michael Griffin's a run stop and safety,
yep.
Hard
yep.
hitter. So
he was flying around the field.
The Eagles are going to have to play well.
Roethlisberger, I thought, missed some throws early on in the game, though. There were a couple of touchdowns he could have had. But still, credit Tennessee for staying in the game and trying to fight tooth and nail all the way to the very end. So, but still, Titans 2-8 coming to Lincoln Financial Field as the Eagles look to be the first team in NFL history to lose 10 straight games at home, to turn around and then win 10 straight games at home.
Regular season games at home.
Regular season games. Thank you, Fran. Yes.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Seriously.
Knock on wood, though. I mean,
I'm just saying if they win Sunday.
Yeah, right.
You know, but a critical four-game stretch because they have the game against the Titans, Thanksgiving against Dallas. Then they welcome the world champs to Lincoln Financial Field, and then they're back hosting Dallas on Sunday Night Football. So very, very important four-game stretch. So
it's only about the next one.
That's true. But we're
a one-week season.
We're allowed to look at.
Yes, of course.
Okay. So you're listening to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Coming up next, our special guest, and then in a little bit, our fails of the week. Welcome back to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Our special guest this week, former first-round pick and starting right tackle, Lane Johnson. Lane, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Lane,
pleasure. The pleasure is all ours.
Yes, indeed. Lane, what was Chip's message to you guys as you came back to start the week of training to prepare for Tennessee?
Look at the film. Learn from the good learn from the bad and see what you did good, but just move on. There's still, a lot of games left.
Is it easier to evaluate the tape and go through these sessions after a loss rather than a win, where you might not be as open maybe per se to the coaching and the criticism?
Yeah, I mean, it's all good whenever you win, but I think players, I mean, even here, I mean, they try to look at things they did bad even when they win, so they can learn from it. And even, I mean, this week, I mean, everybody's looking at what they did bad just so they can learn from it, because that's the only way you can grow as a player, really.
Did you watch the game last night? Between the
I watched the first play whenever Mettenberger threw it pick six, and then I turned it off.
Okay.
I like that. That's
yeah,
how
it's
I
a good way to go about it.
As well.
what is the message? Because this team is 2-8 coming to Lincoln Financial Field. You guys have been outstanding at home. How do the coaches get you in that 1 week mindset where to say, don't look at the record, don't pay attention to the struggles they've had? There's a lot of talent on this team.
Well, Chip said just how they play, and they all play hard. I mean, these people, I mean, they're getting paid. I mean, they know that, the season may be over, but still, they're still competing. And we have a big chip on the shoulder at that loss, miss, worst we've been beating in a long time. So, we're coming here with a good mindset.
And they have a pretty good pass rush. I think they sacked Ben five or six times last night.
Yeah,
they blitz a lot, but
yeah, in this league, I mean, you can't sleep on anybody. Everybody has equal talent, so you just got to be on your toes at all times.
Well, how challenging is it to prepare for a team like that? Because they've got all these different guys that'll line up over tackle, over guard, whether it's Jarrell Casey or Morgan or Wimbley, Phillips. They kind of rotate those guys, move them all around.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of versatility, but, I mean everybody has a chip on the shoulder this week. I mean, after that loss, I mean, that was embarrassing. So, we're all ready to get to the next game, and we're taking this week really serious.
How much are you guys looking forward to being back at home where you guys have won 9 straight regular season games dating back to last year?
We're looking forward to it. I know I personally look forward to it. You can get off on the snap count a lot quicker. It kind of gives you an advantage over the DNs, as opposed to road games where it's, a lot louder.
How was the atmosphere? It says I was here in our studio watching a game from afar. Bo was the one who went to Lambeau, and it just seemed like it had that playoff atmosphere. But I'm just trying to think on the field between the cold weather, the crowd, just – it had to be tough for you guys to communicate.
Yeah. I mean, we did a decent job communicating, but, I mean, Lambeau Field, that's kind of how – I mean, that's how it's supposed to be.
Yep.
I mean, it's cold, snowing, snow's on the ground, windy. So the atmosphere was good. We just didn't, play how we wanted to play.
Are you guys, as an offensive line, tired of hearing people ask about when the running game is going to get going?
It's a good question. I mean, we kind of wonder it ourselves. We had some success. I don't know how many yards we had, but I think we had over 100. So, I mean, it wasn't that bad of a game, but it's, not like we were last year. But, we're trying to really run the ball well against this team.
And obviously the way that game unfolded, you had to get away from the run a little bit.
Yeah, we had to throw it.
Yeah, so, but, against Tennessee last night, the Steelers won basically by running against the Titans in the fourth quarter. So, hopefully there will be something there this week.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can get it back.
How long does it take? Obviously, you were out for the first four games, so you can kind of speak to it. How long does it take to get back into the swing of things as a lineman in a scheme like ours where there's a lot of zone blocking and you're working in tandem with the guys next to you to kind of get back into sync?
It's just mentally. I've been playing next to Todd for such a long time and now having Tobin, so that's probably, the biggest difference because you're so used to, somebody playing one way and fitting your style of play. So it's just adjusting, but, we practice a lot, so, that helps. So when the game day is, you're not caught off guard.
Well, how much have you seen Todd behind the scenes? I know D'Amico Ryans, he's rolling around the facility in a scooter. He's still in the meetings. He's flying on that thing. I haven't seen Todd in the facility since he went.
I saw him this morning.
Yeah. You saw him this morning?
No, he's been here.
So.
Yeah, no, he's been in our meeting room pretty much every day. Yeah. He's always talking to me, making comments, just stuff that he sees. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. Him, he could pretty much coach if he wanted to. All the experience he has. But, no, he's helping the younger guys, helping Tobin out, helping me out, and, it's whatever he sees.
And he has that sweet Movember mustache.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of Ron Burgundy this morning looking at him.
Bo's trying here.
It's Bovember. This is Bovember.
Bovember here. So, okay. How tough do you think it was for Todd? I mean, he played through a torn bicep against Houston. He's been on this team since 2005. It was the year after the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, and he sees all the good things this team is doing. How much do you think it pained him not to be able to be on this team for the stretch run, knowing that something special could be brewing here this season?
I mean, he texted me last night. I mean, it's hard for him to sit there and not be able to be out there with his team. But, I think he's doing as much as he can as far as supporting, Tobin, young players coming up and just giving them advice, and he's helping out as much as he can.
This is completely off topic.
All right.
But one of my favorite tweets of any Eagles player over the past couple of years was when you tweeted the picture of your son and his big hands. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if he has grown into his hands.
I don't know. I mean, his hands are getting close to my size right now. that picture was a good angle. I mean, they are famously big, but that picture, his head was kind of under some blankets, kind of made it look small. So, but yeah, I think he's going to be a giant.
That's awesome. How old is he now?
15 months.
Okay.
So what is he doing right now? So he's walking at this point?
Yeah, he's walking. He says some words. He babbles.
Okay.
A lot of jumbled sentences. I mean, he doesn't know what he's saying.
You don't know what he's saying?
No, not really. He has his nap time around 9 o'clock every morning. He gets up and makes his rounds, and I come home and see him for a little bit. He's starting to go to bed early now, so he's usually in bed around about 6:30.
He's adapting to the sports science.
Yeah, he's getting to sleep now.
You gotta let Chip know. Chip likes big hands for his quarterback.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out.
So what is the one responsibility that you have at home, being a father, that you wish that your wife would take off your hands? Is it changing the diapers? Is it?
I mean, she does a lot of that. I mean, I do it every once. I try to avoid it as much as I can. But, she stays on top of things. I'm lucky from that standpoint. Sometimes our house gets a little bit messy, but, it's me throwing clothes around. I mean, most times it's me messing it up. So I try to take care of the dishes sometimes.
So who's the biggest kid in the house, I was going to say?
Yeah, I'm the biggest kid in the house, definitely.
What was the toughest thing for you being away for that first month of the season where you're not able to even be at the facility? Where Todd, we talk about Todd, is, you know, he's in the meeting room and stuff. You weren't able to be at the facility. What was that month like in terms of being away?
I mean, the training was good. It just sucked. You know, I was coming back, coming in blind, you know, had to play week five. So that was tough, just mentally going in, you know, not having practice, not having any communication with anybody. So that was the toughest part. But once after that game got done, I felt comfortable against the Giants and, you know, kind of picked up pace from there.
You said the Giants game was the best of your career.
Yeah, I think just from past, I mean, I felt comfortable. You know, you're out there, you think of all the stuff you want to do, you know, before the game. But during the game, I was able to think, you know, just think and react and knowing what I wanted to do every play.
What was the – your father-in-law played in the NFL, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What was the best bit of advice that he gave to you? Because he played for the Steelers, am I correct?
Yep.
What was the best bit of advice that he gave to you as you were making your way through your college career and going through the draft process? Or maybe even now, what type of advice?
Probably, I mean, he helped me out through college. I mean, he knew I was going to be, high draft pick. But he told me just NFL, it's not like college. I mean, there's times you're going to face teams that are, really good. You get beat. It's not like college, you know, where one loss is, you know, the season's over. So, I mean, even this past week, you know, he said just regroup, learn from it. I think he was telling me about a time where he forgot what team he was playing, but he got blown out and they ended up playing
probably
in the playoffs.
Eagles.
Yeah, and then ended up going to the AFC Championship game. He just fills me up with stories and stuff that he's done.
We were going through the numbers earlier of teams. You can go through all the playoff teams right now, mm-hmm. and they've all suffered big losses at some point in this season. It's just a matter of how do they bounce back.
Exactly. Yep.
What position did he play?
Defensive end.
Okay, so does he say he could take him back in his day?
Yeah, he runs his mouth every now and then, but, you know, it's all good fun.
How much does it help being a former quarterback in terms of playing in an offensive system like the one that Chip Kelly and Pat Shermer run? Because it seems like a lot of the guys on the team now were at one point quarterbacks, whether it was in high school or maybe some in college. It seems like it gives them a unique viewpoint of how the offense runs and what they're looking for in terms of making a run.
Yeah, I just think when you're playing quarterback, you're not just, you know, solely thinking about your position. You're thinking about the protections you have to have, the route progressions, where the receivers are going, where the ball's going to go. So you kind of just get a big picture of things. So when you're playing tackle, you know, most of the time you're just blocking the DM, but it kind of gives you a bigger perspective of, you know, what's happening.
One of my favorite clips of, like, a peek behind the curtain that we've been able to give Eagles fans over the past couple of years since Chip Kelly's arrived was your first meeting with the coaching staff at the Combine.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the best part of that feature was them asking, look, you've played quarterback, you played tight end, you played D-line, you played O-line. What was your favorite position? And you told them quarterback. And everybody just – you gave your reasoning, and everyone just started rolling. It was probably one of the best clips.
What was it? What was the reason for why quarterback?
I mean, you're not getting beat up in practice. You're chilling. I mean, come game day, it is mentally frustrating. But, I mean, just you're saving your body.
That's true. Yeah. Who is the best non-quarterback quarterback on the roster? And I think you probably have to exclude Brad Smith since he played at Missouri.
Well, you can't couch it now. You start and say,
who's the fifth best quarterback on the roster?
Probably James Casey.
Okay.
Yeah. That dude, he can sling it.
He's the emergency quarterback. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably say him.
So what
did you ever remember Isaac Sopawaga could throw the ball like?
Yeah. Yeah. It was insane.
Though it was true.
Yeah.
Because he talked about did he say how far did he say he could throw?
It was 80 yards.
Yeah, 80 yards. I believe it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He would just chuck it.
Yeah.
What's the farthest that you could ever throw a football, and how far do you think you could throw one now?
I could probably throw in the 70s back in the day. My shoulder's a lot tighter than what it was. I could probably still throw in the 60s probably now.
So when you – obviously this is a few years back, but I remember when Kyle Bowler was coming out and everyone was in awe at when he would drop to his one knee and throw it over through the goalpost. I mean, you could probably do that, right? I mean, at some point.
I couldn't throw through the goalpost. I could probably make it 50 yards, but, you know, my arm wasn't you know, overly strong. It wasn't a Jamarcus Russell or anything like that.
Sopawaga, though.
Yeah, so Walker has it, though.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you going from college at Oklahoma to being in a big city like Philadelphia in your 2 years here?
Probably just getting married and you know, having a child, probably just that responsibility. I have a lot of family there in Houston, so I've been in Houston, you know, all my life. So, but just, you know, being out on my own, you know, being married, just having a whole different, you know, set of responsibilities on my hands.
Because one of the things that when you first came to Philadelphia, you had that press conference and you talked about wrestling the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a story that everyone took seriously. And just because of the way you just had a great delivery, deadpanned it, mm-hmm. you know, was that something that you had to kind of learn? It's like, all right, maybe I can't joke about little things like this all the time.
Yeah, what was confusing is that I got asked that question the night before the draft, like at the draft party. And someone asked me that, and I thought it was a joke. So I thought they may have asked the same question as a joke
right.
you know, here. So. Yeah. I gave him a joke response, trying to get a straight face. And then when I got in, and he's like, "You really wrestled Bears?" No, I just told him that. You know, I think I'm a hillbilly. You know, I'm from Texas, do country stuff. So
it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I fit the stereotype.
Everyone fits the stereotype. So you figure, all right, well, if I say it, everyone's going to go along with it here.
So I went along with it.
All right, so we have a couple little off-topic questions here we're going to throw at you. You know, we each pick our favorites. And the first one I'm going to ask you here, and this is based off, speaking of your Twitter account, you tweeted this, I believe it was earlier this offseason. Mm-hmm. It was about who was uglier, you or Alan Barber.
Yeah.
So, well, who won the matchup? And second, who would you say is the ugliest player on the Eagles?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
I think it may have been a dead heat. I mean, I got some ugly responses, so did Al. Ugliest player.
I remember last year I did a Wolf's Den survey about the worst hair in the locker room, and you were one of the choices.
Yeah, I don't have any hair.
It's like you.
I'm still going Al Barber. I mean, I don't care. I'm still going Al Barber.
That's a good way. You already know he's perceived good, that way. He's just throw him that way.
That's a good save.
So, but what was your question?
Let's see what we got on here. How about what's the last movie that made you cry?
Probably 8 seconds. I mean, when I was younger, my dad used to ride bulls back in the day.
Okay.
So he actually knew Lane Frost. I don't know if you're familiar with the story.
No.
Lane Frost was world champion bull rider, and I think the following year he was. I mean, having a great year, and he was in Cheyenne, and he rode the bull and got off, and the bull ended up. Hitting him on the side, and his rib pierced his heart, and he ended up dying. But they made it. They made a movie about it. It's called 8 Seconds.
I remember hearing about the movie, but so.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
So it just got
dark.
I know. Does it take a lot? Does it have to be a special type of movie, or is that something since that was, you know, something that your dad was close to?
Yeah, just something that my dad was close to, okay. And I felt for him.
Okay. Keep the tough guy in here.
That's what always gets me is like father-son stuff. That's what always makes me. Makes me lose it. The last one was I was coming back from my honeymoon in Africa. Oh yeah,
where's my Kleenex?
Recently, and it was a long slog, so I was very tired, so I was very out of it.
Oh,
it was
right,
a long flight, and on the flight I watched this movie called About Time. With Rachel McAdams and something else, but it's the scene of like this guy, his dad's about. To pass, but he can travel through time, so he gets to live the day over and over again. I don't know. I just lost it.
Fran?
Field of Dreams is a classic.
I can't remember the last movie. The last movie I can't remember. But
probably The Notebook.
Yeah. No, you know what, though?
The Notebook. I've never seen The Notebook.
Well, the last thing that made me cry, though, the season or the series finale of 6 Feet Under on HBO.
Okay.
I watched it on HBO Go like over the spring, I think, with my wife, and the finale was a really good finale. You know, it was. I don't want to give away the end of the series, but it was very. It was kind of like Beau's point. It was family driven and seeing how people grow old and things.
We are definitely emotional guys here on the Eagles Weekly podcast, but nobody is as deep. As Brian Thomas, our producer, one of the questions that he has on this list that he wanted us to ask you.
So are you going to ask it
which would you rather have, trust or love? What kind of question is that?
I guess love. Love conquers all. Right?
Unbelievable.
Well played. Well played.
BT, how did you come up with that in the middle of the night?
he was watching The Notebook and said, which would I rather have?
Exactly.
Fran, what was your question?
I got to see. What did you circle for me here?
I think you were.
What's your favorite midnight snack? Food's always on my mind.
Favorite midnight snack?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Trying to think what we have. I used to be heavy on the Pop-Tarts.
Let's tell. Hold on. Before you answer, let's just tell Chip to stop listening.
Yep.
For this part. Okay. Go ahead.
Wait, he's got the juice. He's got the juice on that.
Yeah. That's right.
Probably, I mean, Pop-Tarts was always the bread.
What was the flavor?
I think it was the brown sugar.
Brown sugar. Okay. Definitely is the way to go.
Now, would you toast? Now, would you toast them or not toast it? I'll eat them right out of the
Depends
package.
Depends on what mood I was in, but most of the time I like it toasted.
You like it toasted? Okay.
If you were in a trust kind of mood, it was toasted. If it was a love kind of mood, it was, yeah, it was non-toasted.
Non-toasted.
I think it would be the other way.
Well, but it's debatable. Conversation for another time.
Well, Lane Johnson, thank you very much for joining us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. We greatly appreciate it.
Are you gonna crush that can like you crushed the note cards and
I wanted to, but I think I'm gonna wait.
Thanks, Lane.
Yeah.
All right, time to start wrapping things up on this week's edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. But first, our fails of the week, and
this is non-Eagles division.
Well, this is no. This is Eagles.
All right.
So number five involves the Eagles. First quarter, Mason Crosby lined for a field goal, and the referee trying to tell Benny Logan something, and Benny not having it with the umpire.
Now I missed that.
I missed it, too.
You missed it?
See it again?
I mean, I missed it during the game. I see
it.
I
remember it during the game.
What's he doing?
Well, is he telling him, is he doing what happened with that New England game?
The Jets-Patriots game.
Yeah, or the Jets-Patriots game. That's right.
To watch where you're lining up. So the question is,
Benny wasn't too happy about it.
Now, the thing is, I wonder, does Benny think it's a teammate trying to tell him to do something to move, or if it's the umpire?
So we have to bring Benny in and ask him.
We will have to get the word
Benny,
on
Benny, one of the best guests we've ever had on Eagles and
no
the
question.
Eagles Insider Podcast.
Eagles Beakley.
One thing, I saw this in a photograph, and this is something else I actually would like to ask him. He was wearing number 59 in the eye black.
Yep, he definitely was.
Yeah, so a little, you know, on the Lion King reference, a little tip of the cap to Mufasa
there.
So there something we'd love to ask him about.
Don't turn your back on me, Scar.
Number four, we're going to go to the college ranks. We're going to Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois, and there's a fan on the sideline with the wow. Is that the Falcon? Is that the Dirty Bird? It's a fan on the sideline. Even Eskin. I was just going to say, even Howard Eskin.
He kind of looks like Bo's face right now.
What, the coat?
Beard. Yeah, the coat.
Howard Eskin from Fox 29 and the silent reporter for the Eagles radio broadcast. Also the guest on this week's edition of Cover 2.
How does it compare?
You know.
That's the question.
Yeah, but I mean, Eskin's a man when it comes to coats. That's his symbol.
Yeah,
the other guy just looks like a big ball of feathers.
He's the man when it comes to icing his ankles after the game.
That is, yes. That is, for those of you who don't know, that yes, he gets his ankles iced every week after the game by the team trainers. Number three, Texans at Browns. So let's see what we got here. Oh, it's a little J.J. Watt. A little J.J. Watt highlight for you here. So, of course, they put J.J. Watt
That's absurd.
Out there and just makes a beautiful.
That's not a catch.
He finished with the top 10 in the top 10 in fantasy points for a tight end.
He was a TE1.
Looks like he comes down out of bounds.
I don't think so. I think he got his feet in.
Well, you get the knee down.
Does he get that second?
The knee is down. Okay. That's what it is. Right. If we roll, it's a little more Brian. There we go. Yes. See?
All right.
He
all
gets
right.
it in there. So
you didn't have him on one of your nine fantasy teams.
I did not.
So both he and Anthony Costanzo from the Colts scored enough points to be tight end options.
There you go.
This week. So tight
but
end
why
one
is that
options.
A fail?
It's just the fact that I think it's more on the Browns defense.
It's a fail for Carlos Dansby. Dansby's lined up one-on-one against the defensive end and J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And he lets him win
it's
on a
pretty
fade.
Good coverage.
Still,
he still gave up a touchdown catch to J.J. Watt.
But isn't that like his fourth touchdown of the year or something?
Yeah, but
it's
not on
fourth,
offense.
Second on offense. Second on offense, fourth total on the season. So,
right. So
at least the Eagles did not give up a touchdown
that
to Watt.
That seems like a debatable fail to me.
Yeah. So at least it's not number one. Number two, this is involving Eagles-Packers.
Oh, this is good.
And it's a little in-house joke here. So we'll let the play run here, but you're going along the sidelines, and you see this time after time again where you see the photographers get out of the way. And that is our own Nick Rotondi, the cameraman, Eagles Television Network producer.
Nick the D.
And Ray Doyle, our multimedia producer. Now, Ray is
Ray
the
gives
who
the Olay.
Just does a little Olay action there. Doesn't help Nick out whatsoever.
Now, keep in mind, when you're on that in that role, you're supposed to kind of be a spotter. You know,
yes.
Just, you know, help him out in case that situation arises. His take was that, you know, he was just trying to get out of the way. He didn't think that he was coming. What's funny is that I saw this the next morning when I was watching the tape of the game, and I said, oh, man, what an idiot camera guy that got hit. Didn't know it was
wow.
Nick. Didn't know it was Nick. And then, you know, I go upstairs, and we were talking, and they say, oh, yeah, Ray bailed me out. You know,
oh.
The rotundi.
Yeah.
The best ever sideline one that at least in-house, with a former camera guy who got trucked by Michael Strahan. Name is Shane Evans. He got crushed. Oh, this is the view from the camera. Okay. It's not that bad.
I'm
not
giving a fail to the Eagles offense there for not getting Josh Huff a touchdown.
Oh, the
that,
ball.
I mean, that was the perfect scenario to get him that touchdown.
The bow nose bump gets bumped.
Unbelievable. I think they literally called that play just to spite me.
So for those of you who did not read the column, Bo went through and researched how the Bo Knows column, the interview subject, has done in the game following the interview, and most of the guys have done quite well.
They've all done very well until this
game. So did you actually?
Maybe it's because I made it public.
Did you mention to Josh?
He was ready to do it.
Did you talk to him at the hotel?
To throw up the W on the way to the game.
You did.
Yes. I'll tell you, if he threw up the W, I would have lost
cried,
it.
Yes.
I would have been
just
crying.
Cried.
I don't think he would have done it in that situation when they were losing by 30 points.
That would
have been I wouldn't have felt bad if he hadn't done it.
Yeah. Could you imagine if he did it? Everyone's asking him in the locker room. Like, what was that? He's like, oh, it's for Bo Wolf.
Listen.
Team throwing by 30 points. Yeah, it would have not been good, but.
No. This camera has cost thousands and thousands of dollars, so it's a good thing that the camera did make it. There was no damage.
It's a good thing Brad eased up at the end, because Brad could have easily taken him out. But the camera that Michael Strahan took out, that did not survive, actually, and that went flipping up in the air. It was funny to see the footage. Number one fail of the week, Jermaine Gresham scores a touchdown for the Cincinnati Bengals, and now there's obvious Bengals fans trying to get the ball to, and the Saints guy, for whatever reason, takes the football away.
That is a great play.
That would absolutely be you.
That is what Bo Wolf would do. That is precisely what Bo would do.
I mean, he's on the road, you know.
But what's a guy going to do with the football? It's like, oh, I caught this. And
well, what I would have done is I would have done the same thing, but then I would have given it to the lady. But
that's what he does.
The ball's in the air. You got to grab it.
The girl does get a ball in the end. Does she? I know there's images
of
her.
That's great. Hold on. I like the guy. Ooh. I like the guy next to him laughing. No, the guy who's actually sitting next to him.
Oh, like over here.
Yeah. Roll it back. Yeah, that guy. He loves it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good play.
And that's what Bo would be doing. Bo would be laughing through the whole thing.
Brutal. Degenerate.
So there is footage that she does get a ball. So I don't know if he gave it up at some point or what. But either way, you know, Bengals and their fans went home happy beating the Saints. So, gentlemen,
anybody's playoff predictions change after last week?
No, sticking with them.
Okay.
I forget. I have to dig up the archive. I don't have Atlanta in the playoffs. I know that much. So.
No, neither do I.
You had Cleveland winning the division.
Yeah, I know. And they're last place right now. I noticed that when I was going through the schedule.
It's half a game.
Right.
Half a game out first place. So,
how many teams? I was just trying to make fun of the NFC South, but. How many teams would win that division? How many teams?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, one team will win the division.
Right now, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that would finish above Atlanta right now at 4-6.
In the NFC.
In the NFC.
How about in the AFC? How many teams have better records than the
Falcons? In the AFC, it's much higher. In the AFC, it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12 teams in the AFC. So
the Falcons have the 24th best record or something?
Something along those lines, yeah.
And yet they could be hosting a playoff game.
And they could host a playoff game.
So
that'd be a good place to go.
Yeah.
If the Eagles had to play at one of the NFC South teams in a wild card game, who would you choose?
From playing against a team?
Which NFC South team, yeah. Obviously you wouldn't choose New Orleans because you don't want to go to the Super
Bowl. No. I would feel fine going to
Hosting
any of the other three.
I'd rather host one.
Probably Carolina. Carolina. I mean, Tampa Bay obviously would be ideal, but
because of the location as well as the I wouldn't mind going to Tampa Bay just because it's going to be January at that point.
That's true.
We've been to Tampa Bay in January. Close.
You are going. You are going to.
Well, we won't if we're in playoff. We're in the playoffs.
No.
All right. Shout out your question, Brian. Our studio
audience.
What do you got?
This is our new fail of the week.
What's the question?
No, so he's...
Ah, there you go. That's right. BT was not happy on that trip at the Shrine Game. It's very true.
That sounds like
a
story.
That was a wonderful time. We got to see Bo Allen.
It's true. We did get to see Bo Allen.
Sounds good.
Among others.
Sounds like
who else?
John Brown.
John Brown. Yeah.
John Brown was there.
John Brown.
Why are we dinging for John Brown?
Laurent Duvernay Tardif.
That would be...
Tommy Rees.
Tommy Rees. He was terrible. Keith Price.
Dree Archer.
No, Dree Archer wasn't that the. No, Dree Archer was Senior Bowl. Yeah.
They all run together. Now, Brian had a much better time at the Senior Bowl.
The best player there was Shaq Richardson, but
Shaq Richardson. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a bunch of guys there.
Jermaine Thomas.
Jermaine Thomas was it both?
Yep.
You guys are just reminiscing here.
Fran and I ranked every single player there after the week in order of their likelihood to get drafted, and I think I won because like you had someone who got drafted in like the '90s or something like that.
Right.
Who it was.
I don't recall.
But it was close.
It's good.
Anyway, there you go.
So on that note, I think that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. For Fran Duffy and Bowolf, I'm Chris McPherson. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be back next week
on Eagles Beat Club.